Thank you, gentlemen. All right, if you have a Bible or you want to read the notes, the verses will be in the notes. Tonight is an introduction. If I am brave, and I cannot promise to be brave. Do you all know that? Sometimes there's things you'd rather not deal with. I might do Eli and discernment, but it's not 102 or 201, it's like 401. By the way, how many of you know the rest of the story with Eli after this story? Is it a good discernment story? We're going to do everything good tonight. Everything is sweet tonight because this part of the story is nice. And it's about, at least from what we're going to discuss, it's about discernment. Now, the whole story is not about discernment. Before we stand, if I can say this to you, Jesus in John chapter 7, verse 24 said this, judge not according to appearance, but judge a righteous judgment. He also commanded us, he says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Having discernment is difficult. My wife heard this today. She didn't listen to me any more than you do. On the way home, I said, it's amazing to me how people confuse a little bit of information. And it's a very confused thing. They go from information to having opinions. A little bit of information is not understanding. And understanding is not wisdom, because wisdom is what do you do with it? That's hard. Well, not if you're not in charge of anything and you can just pot shoot everybody. Now, we're not going to talk about that tonight. We're actually going to talk about discernment in your life. But by the way, a little bit of information doesn't mean you understand anything. April of last year, there is 1, 2, 3 people that know what happened last year in April, when it happened, as it happened. 3 people. You're not one of those people. Did you hear what I just said? You're not one of those people. He's one of those people. I'm one of those people. My daughter's one of those people. And there's another one, 4 of us. I spent from that day until 2 months ago trying to figure out something more than little bits of information. I tried to have discernment. And by the way, while people had opinions all around, let's stand. Tonight's just discernment 101, not even 102. This is basic discernment. Verse 9, Hannah, you know the story because we talked about this story last Sunday. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. And she says, now Eli the priest. Now, by the way, this should make you laugh if you know the story. He was doing what? What was he doing? Why was he sitting? Because he was kabod. Everybody knows the Hebrew word for kabod. Well, it primarily means honor and glory, but on the other side, literally it means being heavy. You know, he was very heavy, so he went from one seat to the next. There's just a little humor for it. Remember, he fell off backwards from here, broke his neck, and died. Okay. Now, Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post in the temple of the Lord, and she, Hannah, beautiful story, a lot about prayer here. She was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaiden and remember me and not forget thy handmaiden, we would say today, by the way, servant, it makes no difference. But thou will, but thou will give unto thy handmaiden a man child. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. By the way, you know, otherwise she's going to dedicate him to the Lord. This is a Nazarite vow in the Old Testament. I had a person actually ask me the question. I don't have an answer. Normally, it's assumed that you yourself take this vow. But a few cases, the person took the vow was the parents and the children followed. John the Baptist is one. Verse 12. And it came to pass, as she was continuing, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli did what? Let's use different language. He noticed her mouth. How could he not? Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been, what? Drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, or no, sir, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink. But, and by the way, those are two words. Wine means, you know, something made of grapes. Strong drinks means made of any other kind of fruit. She hasn't been getting drunk. That's her point. But have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaiden for a daughter of Belial. That is a literal Hebrew phrase, but it means don't count me as a worthless person. Everybody look at me. Have you read 1 Samuel? Do you keep up when you're reading? This is exactly what Eli's children were. The very phrase. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. We're going to look at this simple story tonight, talk about discernment. By the way, when I made my notes, I went to pick my notes up, not from this, but from tomorrow or from my Bible class. I walked past and I looked in and Christy was in her room. Christy, are you up there? Oh, that's Big B. You're down here. She was up in the room. She was mumbling. So my first assumption, you were mumbling. I heard you mumble from outside. Who are you talking to? So I assumed what? She's drunken, of course. Of course. I mean, isn't that the logical conclusion? That's the danger of little pieces of information, skipping over the understanding. You don't have to worry about wisdom, because wisdom means how are you going to fix the problem and jumping to your opinion. No, I don't think she was drunken. I know Christy very well. When she's working, she starts talking. And by the way, I'm picking on her now, but not really. It's one. She'll come into my office to do a computer problem. This is what I've learned. She'll be talking right at you. The moment her mind goes to computers, she's talking to herself, and it's a more intelligent conversation. And she just switches back and forth. All right, Christy, I don't think you're drunken. Let's pray together, please. Father, thank you for this time. Help us to hear. This is a simple story. And one of us, if we have any humility at all, we recognize ourselves in this story sometimes. You know, jumping to conclusions, those sorts of things. Help us as we read this simple story to learn some basics about discernment. Lord, I would ask this to happen tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. I'm going to give you two very simple, similar stories. I say in your notes, two similar events or phenomena separated by 5 or 10 years. One of them happened about 15 years ago. About 15 years ago, a lady in this church came to me and said, Pastor, I am so sorry for sleeping during the entire sermon last week. I did not have the heart to tell her. I didn't notice she was sleeping. But she told me she was sleeping. And by the way, the lady is Heidi Von Kinnick, by the way. And you say, why was she sleeping? Everybody look up here. We're talking about discernment. Can I say this? I don't think some people have the ability to discern. I think they can only talk about their opinions. But I'll try. Poor Heidi. Heidi had taken some medication. And the medication was causing her to be drowsy. And she said, I was sleeping. I hadn't noticed. But the causation? Medication. Well, 5 or 6 years ago. By the way, we had people sleeping this morning. I didn't have anybody, I don't think, sleeping in anger today. That's good. This is talking about me now. Are you ready? 5 or 6 years back. Atong, do you know anything about medicine, Atong? A little bit? Yeah, right. Now I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to talk to my buddy back here, Srijit. I'm at home at night. I get up for my nap. I get ready, I drink a big energy drink called Mountain Dew. And I would sit down, and by the way, I'm a weird person. I tend to read 15 minutes a week or so. I was reading, and I would notice this. Sometimes my head would be doing this. Sometimes I would feel like I'm just falling off the side of the cliff. Sometimes I would wake myself up going, Now, Atong, you're not the only one. There are several nurses here, but you're one that I know that's pretty good at nursing. Srijit, you're a young physician, yet not through the whole mess. Should I not, having worked in a lab and having a degree in laboratory medicine, have known those are all the symptoms of somebody that has a high glucose problem? Look at me. I'm asking you a question. Should I have not known that, Atong? So the doctor looked at me, and because I'm of a certain age and I'm very slender and all of that, he says, you're going to take an A1C. I still remember. This was actually 2022. And in the summer, he did an A1C, and he found out my A1C was 9.7. You say, Pastor Warren, is an A1C of 9.7 a problem? No, it's not a problem. You just sleep all the time. Every time you sit down, you're sleeping. You say, what's an A1C of 9.7? Well, an A1C of 9, I wrote it down here someplace. But you say, why didn't you deal with it? Well, I just ignored the symptoms. By the way, an A1C of 9.7 means on an average period of time, my glucose is 231. And your glucose today, with newer numbers, should be 100 or less. And I'm running 231 on average, which means, oh, by the way, what did I do when I got this crash? I drank the second Mountain Dew. So what did I do? I ignored the problems. Now, friends, look at me. I like medicine, I freely confess, because I like thinking, and I like diagnosing, and I like working through things. Here I am, a person that knows this and still ignored the symptoms. Can I say this? Tonight's 101. If I do next week, it's 401, because the only hard things you're really going to discern are two things. Yourself. Can I have an amen? And those closest to you. And I have found people can never see themselves, and they don't see those closest to them. By the way, I bring that up because you have the same symptom. Here's the symptom. I'll illustrate. When you sit down, look at me. When you sit down, by the way, I don't know the cause of that, but I do know this. Heidi, when she sat down, her problem was caused by medication. When I sit down, it was caused by high glucose. Symptom, cause. Cause and effect. This seems to be simple until you people have emotions and feelings and all of they know things and all of that kind of stuff. All right. Now we're going to read the story. Simple story. I'll let you fill in the blanks. The story begins with Hannah praying. beautiful. By the way, most of the time when I read this, I want to read about her prayer life because it's beautiful. It says, Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. I'm not going to give any of the background. You can read that in the preceding verses. She wants a son. Her blessed second wife has plenty of children. It's a terrible story. So in verse 11, it says this. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid the man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. We have here, and by the way, when you read this, your primary thinking should be Hannah's prayer life. Hannah's, first of all, praying from the heart. I mean, this is, you know, I can't, there's no way to manipulate God, but Hannah was broken, praying from the heart, praying from her hurt, her pain, her lacks. She was praying, but not out loud, in the sense of she wasn't talking, you know, out loud. Next, she was praying under her breath, and I would call it probably mumbling. You know, when you're not really talking out loud, but it's enough where people can hear something or see something. And she was praying specifically for a son, and not only was she praying, but she was vowing. She was vowing to the Lord, if you give me a son. That's the background of the beautiful story. Everybody look at me. Got the story? Simple? Yes? No. It's just that simple. She's praying. Number two is Eli observing. Everyone look at me, please. My wife says she sits in the front. Does anybody know why she sits in the front? Dave and Nicole sit in the back because they're part of the problem. But I'm serious. Why are you willing to say why you sat in the front? So you don't get distracted. Doesn't want to see anybody playing with their phone. She wants to be focused. But I got a question. People sleep. By the way, here's the thing you can't get away from. Number two is Eli, look at me, Eli observing. You're going to observe. You're going to see her. Now, Heidi's with the Lord now. She's no longer having those problems. But Sister Heidi would sit over here, and if she was sick, she would nod off. She was on medication. You're going to see somebody. By the way, how do you not see it? You're going to see the person in front of you sleep. You know, sometimes you see things you don't wish you could see. I have decided, in case you all haven't figured out, I don't stand up during song singing. Because I don't want to see any stupid. I want to be engaged myself. You say, that's weird, Pastor. I don't play games. And I don't want to be part of it. We have Eli observing. Look what it says. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. He was seated someplace. Verse 12, and it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked or noticed or whatever term you want to use, her mouth. My question, of course, is, and by the way, there's nothing deep with this, folks. It's not meant to be deep. The real question is simply this. He notices that she is talking under her breath. Those two are okay. The praying's okay. The observing's okay. Number three is when it gets strange. So we want to read the verses first, 12, 13, and 14. And notice the steps. It came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. He noticed. If somebody slept, we used to have a guy here, oh, good grief, he would sleep so fast. And one time there was reasons, by the way, he was not sleeping because of medication or diabetes. He was sleeping for one reason and one reason only, IQ. His IQ was so low that he could not deal with anybody talking in a linear fashion. And the moment you're that kind of a person, your mind shuts off and you just go into la-la land and it happens in seconds. I'm not as dumb as I look. They cannot carry on. They cannot listen and work through ideas. Even giving you step by step, they can't follow that. Well, that was his problem. Eli marked her mouth. Verse 13. Now, Hannah, this is, of course, the author speaking, the Holy Spirit. She spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, here it is. We're now going to the third stage. Eli evaluated. Eli did what? Thought. He thought she had been drunken. I got a question for you. Is that the first thing you would think about? Look at me, folks. Is that the first thing you would think? So you walk past Christy up there and you hear her talking. Do you think she's... I shouldn't ask that question, maybe. Do you think she's drinking? Do you start to understand before we go any further? Just because you have an opinion, the opinion has little to do with reality. There is many reasons people sleep. Many. I'll come back to some of those later. He was evaluating, so he saw, he marked her mouth. He then thought she had been drunken. And then he took it to the next level. Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from me. That's pretty strong language, isn't it? So he went from seeing, look at me, seeing it, to assuming, to condemning, boom, 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 with no thoughts. That's a problem. Now, tea time, do you teach? Does your lovely wife teach? Let's see, who else teaches in here? One, two, we have quite a few people that teach. Can I say this? Any teacher knows this. You have to be very careful about the behavior of children. And you assume what you assume, and then you find out you're 100% wrong. I have a kid in Bible class right now. I will say this, he's been in Bible class for 2 years. He is one of the few kids that I've ever had in Bible class that I still can't figure out. You say, why? Look at me. If you get in the least loud, he has the weirdest reactions on earth, which probably tells me what, Sparky? What? Could be. Probably he's experienced loudness and or violence and assumes that all loudness has something to do with violence. Do I get loud? No, I'm a very quiet, soft-spoken person. I just kind of mumble along. I say, dear, no, folks, I get loud, of course. Am I violent? No. Big B, you should move from that group over there. You should separate yourself. All right, we got a bit moving on here. We're going to get in trouble. By the way, everybody sees the progression. You say, Pastor, I saw it. I heard it. That doesn't mean you understand anything. And then from understanding is 100 miles to wisdom, to knowing what to do. So he marked her mouth. He thought she had been drunken. And then he says it, and it's pretty condemnation language. That is tough stuff, friends. I say in your notes, this is where discernment lives or dies. Recognizing you might have an opinion, and that opinion might be wrong. This is discernment 101. Here are some verses that deal with discernment. Cause and effect ideas, as the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying. So the curse causeless, or the curse without a cause, shall not come. By the way, in a person sleeping in church, hear me, when a person is sleeping in church, there is a cause to it. What's the problem? Be careful that you're not talking about yourself when you're evaluating the person. That's your problem with gossip and stuff. Most people don't realize they're revealing themselves. You don't know. But there is a cause, yes. Proverbs 30, verse 33, one of my favorite verses. I like to practice this verse on students. No, I don't. Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, but most of you wouldn't know. You've never churned milk. Tim, did you churn milk? So I'm pretty sure you know what churning is. Did you guys have, how did you do it? Did you have one of these things? Did you have electric, or did you shake it? I've done the shaking. I've done the churning. The crank, oh yes, I've done a lot of butter that way as a kid. And he goes on and says, the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood, so the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. And there's a cause and an effect. Next page, please. Nothing deep. We're moving forward and building to a conclusion, which is where I want to go. The next passage is, of course, Mary learning from an angel that she's going to have a child. It says, verse 28, and the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at that saying. And cast in her mind what manner of greetings or salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for thou shalt have favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Then said Mary, I'm skipping a couple of verses. Wait a minute. How shall this be? Seeing I know not a man, this is not the way things work. Behavior does have causes. Our problem is when we know those causes. Number four. So we have talked very, very simply. Hannah praying, Eli observing, Eli evaluating, and by the way, evaluating incorrectly. To next, Hannah explaining and or defending. Hannah then explains. No. I got a question for you. Everybody look at me. If you wanted to know something of a decision that I had made, look at me, please. Who might you ask? Wow. That is shocking. Isn't that, look at me, isn't that deep? Can I say the person who won't is a fool? Let's be real clear. The person who won't is a fool, especially if you have an opinion. You say, you're being harsh. Folks, this is the whole Bible. If you don't have that much discernment, you think you know things. By the way, it's not me, it's everything. My goodness, do you notice that if you work in a job, the lower down the food chain you work, the more intelligent you think you are. The bosses are always inevitably stupid. Then why aren't you the boss? I'm asking a question. Yeah. Number four. Hannah explaining and defending. She says, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. We have in this text effect. The effect was, or the symptom was, praying under her breath. The cause? Well, the cause was she didn't have a son. The cause was she was in pain. She was in agony. She was weeping. The cause was not drunkenness. Obviously. Some basic things, friends. I am sorry to speak at this level about these kinds of things. Causes do not equal symptoms. Symptoms are symptoms. They're not the cause. Causes are multiple most of the time. They can be extremely multiple. Causes can be very difficult to discern. And sometimes, are you ready? Impossible. All right. April of last year, I got news. From April of last year until about 2 months ago, I tried to discern something. You weren't there, so you don't know anything. The only person that knows anything is the guy here and two other people. You're not one of them. You haven't asked me, but you have an opinion. Why do you have an opinion? I would be curious. You say you're being cruel. No, I'm just asking you a question. Why do we have opinions about things we don't know anything about? Wow. You say, are you getting frustrated? Yes, I don't like gossip. I really think gossip, especially if the gossip's not fun, it's stupid. All right. Causes do not equal symptoms. That's basic medicine. That's basic everything. Causes are multiple. By the way, Heidi was sleeping because of medication. I was sleeping because of diabetes. I'll get to some more in a moment. Causes can be very difficult to discern. Does everybody agree with that? Friends, there's a lot of causes for things, and sometimes you spend a lot of time trying to figure it out. Can I give you all something that's weird? I have a lovely class that I teach every year for many years, high school, 11th and 12th grade. Can I say every single time when the 12th grader goes on their senior trip, I'm looking at the same kids that I taught the week before, and I'm like, who are you guys? Because their behavior is colored by the kids older than them. That's the weirdest thing in the world. Same kid, same teacher, friends. Be careful about discerning things. Very careful. And I would say, as I've already said, sometimes it's impossible. I say in your notes, evaluation is always dangerous, and evaluation must be deliberate. So I'm going to ask a simple question, and you don't have to write any of this down. What causes a person to fall asleep? Well, it could be high glucose. I'm going to go down a list. I wrote a long list. These are just possibilities. Are you ready? Jet lag. Cliffy, have you ever had jet lag? Can I say this? The first long trip I took was to Romania. We flew from St. Louis to Romania. We didn't fly to Romania. We flew to Budapest in Hungary. And then we drove across miles, and it was a Sunday morning. They show us to the room. We go in, we clean up, and we got to go to church. And folks, it really isn't jet lag. That's a misnomer. It's actually exhaustion at first, because you haven't slept in a long time, plus jet lag. And they put us on the front row. And the guy's preaching in Romanian. You know how much Romanian I understand? Da. I think that's the one word. There might be two words. Yeah. And the pastors, are you ready? Preaching on the Trinity. And somebody's interpreting, but he doesn't know how to interpret any of those words from Romanian to English. We're getting about every fifth word. And by the way, they preach long. You think I preach long? Hour and a half. They usually had three sermons, and this was the third one, about an hour and a half. I am doing all I can because everybody can see me, because it's a toilet bowl of thing, you know, where it goes up and they're looking down. And it's, oh, this is terrible. You say, why were you sleepy? Jet lag, exhaustion. By the way, it could be working too much, could be stayed up too late, could be not interested, could be coming down from the high of an energy drink, could be that we just sleep anytime we're in, you know, not about us. It could be that we're not physically well. How about these two? Could be sleep apnea. Could be diabetes. Could be the person's sick. Could be the person's on medication. If it's a kid in my Bible class, it's because they played video games all night. I want to ask Sparky a question. Who plays video games all night? Not a name. Not a name. Girls or boys? By the way, and then they come to your Bible class and they sleep all day. Of course they sleep, because they didn't sleep last night. By the way, if you're going to deal with that kid, you have to deal with the cause. You can't deal with the symptom. You can't assume you know the symptom. You have to deal with reality. Now, if it's a mother in this place and she's sleepy, I'm assuming it's because the little children kept her up all night. Or, in my case, it's the husband snored all night and the wife couldn't sleep. But anyhow, we were going to move on from that. Projection. From our famous theologian Freud, or Fraud, whichever you prefer. But he was right in this case. Projection is which you take your own thinking, your own ideas, and you then and put those on someone else. You're really, by the way, Eli, when he looked at her and said, why are you drunk, woman? Can I say this? Wouldn't be my first thought. I wouldn't look out there and say, you're sleeping, you must be drunk. I think he was talking about. Look at me. I think he was talking about probably his family. Now, I made a mistake last week. You heard it here first. I conflated Eli's children, which is terrible, and Samuel's children, which is terrible. But by the way, both of them had terrible children, did horrible things. I think Eli was talking about himself and his family. Drunk, you see somebody talking under their breath, and the first thing you think of is drunken? That's weird. Well, it could be that you've been around it. I don't know. Number five. Here's the good part of the story. I'm going to give it to you. So you get the drift. It's a simple story. Hannah praying, Eli observing, Eli evaluating, Hannah explaining, and lastly, and I love this part, this is the good part, Eli reconsidering. When she gave the explanation, it said in verse 17, then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. So here is the beauty of Eli 101 discernment. Look at me. He didn't stick with his first impression. When he found out he was wrong, changed his mind. By the way, if and when the facts change, you change your mind. Yes, you do. I'm going to skip the interim verses. We're going to go to chapter 2, verse 20. This is later in the story. Now Samuel's been living with Eli. And remember, Elkanah, godly man, brings his family back every year. It says in verse 20 of chapter 2, Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, the Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. So he is now blessing. This is very commendable. Here's a guy that at least at this point was able to admit he was wrong. And he goes on to say, he says, the Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went unto their own house, and the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived. She not only conceived, she really got busy here. She had three sons and two daughters, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord. To me, the beauty of this story is not his ignorance, but the fact when he found out he was wrong, what did he do? Can I say this? I used to think, and the ministry does things to you that you don't like. I used to think if a person came face to face with the truth, they would change their mind. Those are few and far between people. Most people, Srijit, I know in medicine you have language for this kind of thing, diagnosis, do you not? You have, what do you call it, anchoring? Is that the word? Where a doctor has an opinion, he won't give the opinion up no matter what. Look at me, friend. I have a lovely mother, 94 years old. The year after my dad died in 2013, my lovely, gigantic mother fell down the steps doing that which we had built something for her not to go down the steps. My sister and myself and my little sister gave money. They built a thing where she could do the laundry upstairs. She never needed to go to the basement, but she is stubborn. She went down the steps. She doesn't know what happened. She woke up. It looked like somebody took a baseball bat, hit her right here. Her face was as messed up, swollen, and black and blue as you've ever seen. And the doctor, and then my mother started having difficulties walking. And the doctor said she has a stroke. And I remember telling my sister, if you have a massive stroke on both sides of your body, there's a word for that, death. She does not have the symptoms of having a stroke on one side affecting the other part of the body. She does not have a stroke. Would you believe it was a couple months, 2 or 3 months? She got worse and worse till she couldn't even move, until some doctor said, maybe we should do a MRI and an x-ray, and they found out she had broken her spine between 1 and 2, up under the skull. That's anchoring, Fred. I will not change. You're the fool. By the way, I would recommend this. I'm going to give you these points and be done. I would recommend this. Just have a whole lot less opinions about things you know nothing about. It's always a safe bet. I'm going to say these, and I believe these as much as I believe the text we read tonight. The story is beautiful. At this point in time, Eli reconsidered and went a totally different direction. He didn't hold on to his belief. I say in your notes, I mean this, no one is good at discernment. And actually, if you think you are good at discernment, I would say you're terrible at it. Everyone makes wrong judgments. You say, have you ever been wrong, Pastor Warren? Yes, and if you want to know, ask my daughter. Ask Pastor Kwok, won't tell you, probably. And if I preach on the second part of this next week, you'll understand. But by the way, everybody makes wrong judgments. Marty Marriott said to me not long before he died, he said, I misread that individual. Do you realize how easy that is for me to say and so hard for some others? Everyone makes wrong judgments. What is maturity? Maturity is being wrong. Why are you drunk? Christy, why are you drunk up there? It's being wrong. It's acknowledging it. It's accepting that you were wrong. And it's correcting it. That is where this begins. That's my sermon for tonight. Discernment 101. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, these are basic ideas. They're fleshed out in a story. We can read these principles in the New Testament in multiple places. Romans 16, it's all over the New Testament, but we need to see it in a story to realize Eli saw something, he totally misread it. Everything he did was wrong, but he did have the character at this time to reconsider. Help us as we learn these things tonight, I ask in Christ's name. Amen.